You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And today it's Brett Johnson and Sam Turnberg hosting the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. How you doing in there, Sam?
Pretty good.
I can't stand these weather forecasts whenever they say there's a 30 or 40% chance of rain because I have no idea what to do. I often ride my bike to work. Today I drove because I don't risk it when it's 30 or 40%, but only been a few sprinkles outside. Just make up your mind if you're a weather person.
Right, too probabilistic.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you could probably get away if you're a weather person and say, today it's going to be partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and storms. You could say that any day. And it would pretty much be an evergreen forecast in the fact that you can say that literally any day. So there you go. I had no idea what to do today. How was the weather for you? I've kind of been stuck down here in the bunker all day. Is it still kind of raining out there, or are we getting a little dried out?
It's pretty dry up there. It felt nice when I was just out there.
So the 60 to 70% won this time. The 30 to 40% chance of rain didn't exactly come through.
Much better than that Saturday. I don't know if you were out and about evening, but...
Yeah, Saturday kind of bummed out my whole plans. I had to make some plans to stay inside with that rain we got. Oh, the Twins game got delayed as well. They didn't end up starting till about 8:30 or so. And, I don't know if you're a huge sports guy, but losing 3 out of 4 to the Cleveland baseball team, and they are now tied for first place. Ultimately, I still think they'll probably end up in the playoffs just because the Twins have an incredibly easy schedule in September. In fact, their final 10 games are against the Royals and Tigers, who are the two worst teams in the American League. So probably we'll see some playoff baseball at Target Field and get to look forward to another playoff sweep. Unbelievable stat about the Twins in the playoffs. They have not won a postseason game since Game 2 of the Division Series back in 2004. Isn't that nuts?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. They got swept in 2006. They lost a tiebreaker game in 2008, which I guess doesn't really count as a playoff game, but it pretty much was. 2009, swept by the Yankees. 2010, swept by the Yankees. And then in 2017, they lost the wild card game to the Yankees. And got a feeling they're going to be playing those guys again. Looking forward to another sweep by the Yankees. I would just be happy this year if they lost 3-1, just to say we finally got a victory in a series, but...
I'm really not a fan of those Yankees because not only do they have the Twins number here, one of my favorite teams, but I'm also a Baltimore Orioles fan. So I got double dosage of not liking the Yankees.
Yeah, you got that Chris Davis contract out there in Baltimore.
Ooh, he was good. I have a Chris Davis jersey, actually. The first year I went out to Camden Yards was his Crush Davis year where he was just home run after home run after home run, and now he's just strikeout after strikeout after strikeout.
That is a perfect way to cash in. You hit 52 home runs 1 year, you get a gigantic contract extension, then you just strike out in every at-bat. He's at like a historic pace. I don't think he's quite as bad as he was last year, but yeah, he's getting paid into the, I believe, 9-figure amount for his total contract, and he's hitting below the Mendoza line. Still has a little bit of power, but not a whole lot. I don't know if you saw this a couple of weeks ago where he almost got into a fight with his manager on the bench.
Oh, I didn't see it, but yeah. I believe it.
Yeah, so very frustrating for him. So I guess being an Orioles fan, one thing that's worse than being a Twins fan.
The Orioles did get to make some history, but some news this year where they had a position player. I don't remember. It was Steve Wilkerson, but he came in and he recorded a save as a non-pitcher. I don't know if you saw that, but he didn't throw a single pitch faster than 62 miles an hour.
A bunch of Ephus pitches.
He got the save. He ended it. It was against the Angels. If you haven't seen it, it's worth the watch.
This had to have been like an 18 or 19 inning game, right?
No, I'm pretty sure it's 9th inning there. They were just up by 2 runs, and I think the Orioles have just been, it was a road game. They're not really in it to win it at this point anymore. Don't want to hurt pitchers' arms, and... He was laughing on the mound the whole time too, because he didn't expect he wasn't about to hurt his arm. He was just lobbing him up like it was batting practice.
I feel like the Twins should have used that strategy with their starting pitcher over the past few weeks. Just throw a position guy out there, maybe mess with the opposition if you're out there throwing 58 miles an hour, because it's better than the starters they got over the past few days. Well, with the exception of Saturday and Sunday, they played a little better, but prior to that, their last 4 starters had given up like 25 runs in 4 games. So, ouch. All right, that's enough baseball. We got to get into politics because it is, well, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I think we get buzzed if we talk sports for like more than 3 minutes here at the station, or we start getting a bunch of angry phone calls. So yeah, we better get into the politics part of today's program. Lots on the way on the show today. Coming up on the program, we're going to talk about Trump's Twitter meltdown over the past few days. He's had some more bizarre tweets than usual. Of course, he always is tweeting really weird stuff.
I was going to say, more bizarre. How do you go even more than that?
Well, the one I'm really going to hit up, and we're going to talk about this later in the program. Sam, have you heard of this movie called The Hunt?
I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with what it's about, really.
We'll talk more about this later, but basically it was a movie where elite liberals were going to be hunting down conservatives. They were basically going to kidnap red state conservatives and hunt them down, which naturally, if you think of the premise of that movie, you would say, well, the liberal elites would be the bad guys and the red staters would be the good guys. But of all things, Trump was angry about this movie because he misinterpreted what was it about. And he pretty much ended up getting the movie studio to pull the movie and not release it anymore. Isn't that unreal?
Hey, well, that sounds like a win for us here. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, when I originally saw this movie was going to get pulled, I thought it was because, well, a lot of people on the left probably weren't happy because, well, just movie 101. If you're the person that's going to be hunting other people, usually you're not the hero in the movie.
It sounds like a god-awful movie.
Yeah. Well, it's produced by the same guy who made the Purge movies, so
There's that.
Did have a big-name actor in it. Hilary Swank was in it.
Really?
I didn't recognize any of the other names.
I like her.
Yeah. Somehow she got roped into doing this movie, but Trump tweeted about this over the weekend, and the movie studio ended up saying, we're canceling the release. So, go ahead.
Did they spend the money to actually film and get go, or was this before they started shooting anything?
Well, that's called a teaser. We'll get into this later on in the program, but we'll save it for later on, among some other very bizarre tweets from the president, which has led to some interesting insight from, remember this guy, Anthony Scaramucci, the guy who was the press secretary for like 10 days?
Scaramucci.
Yeah, he was kind of picking up on this pattern from the president's Twitter account and made a prediction, which I think there is a decent chance it could happen. So we'll get into that later on in the program. I don't often like talking about Trump on the program, but it's an interesting pattern, especially looking at this movie, The Hunt, which we'll dive deeper into later on in the program. But I want to start things off with some local stories that have been in the news over the past few days. And want to start something off from MinnPost that was put out today. They're talking about some of our congressional members, and two of them in particular, Betty McCollum and Ilhan Omar. Well, the typical thing we hear from lots of people in the media, and well, just people in general, is that it's been Ilhan Omar who's been Congress's most critical member of the state of Israel. But MinnPost actually went through and wrote this interesting piece today talking about how the person who's actually been the harshest critic of Israel, has actually been, of all people, Betty McCollum. Is that kind of interesting? Because McCollum's normally a person that kind of flies under the radar when it comes to Congress. You really don't hear about her a whole lot in the news. A lot of it's Ilhan Omar, and even some of our Republican members probably get more coverage than her, whether it's Tom Emmer, Pete Stauber, or Jim Hagedorn. I could even throw Dean Phillips and Angie Craig in there. She's been one of those reps that's actually flied under the radar, but she's actually been very critical of the state of Israel and some of their policies over the past few years, and they went through and actually cited some examples. So here's kind of an excerpt from the article. This year, McCollum, who represents Minnesota's 4th District, which I believe that's the district you live in. You're over in St. Paul, aren't you, Sam?
No, I work in St. Paul, gotcha. But I actually live in Ilhan Omar's district, 5th District, I believe, right?
I gotcha. Yep, Ilhan Omar represents 5, and then McCollum represents 4.
I see her signs all over, though, because I'm delivering in St. Paul, so.
Have you seen many of her opponent's signs, Danielle Stella?
I've seen maybe one. It's McCollum all over the place for the most
part. Danielle Stella. Hunter's still trying to get her on for an interview here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
We might just have to dump it because of her voice at some point.
Yeah, that is kind of a little Michelle Bachman-esque of a voice. Although, to Hunter's credit, he was trying to get her on the program before she made waves in the news with her kind of five-finger discount when she goes shopping. So
if anyone can interview her, I think Hunter would be the right one to do it.
Yeah,
he would do a good job with that, I think.
I don't know if I could do it with a straight face.
Matt
certainly couldn't do it with a straight face.
No, so me neither.
We'll leave that to Hunter if he's able to line that up. Anyways, got a little off track, though. So we're talking about Betty McCollum in CD4 and how she's actually been a more harsh critic of Israel as compared to Ilhan Omar, who kind of gets the brunt of the criticism as being someone who's hard on the Israelis. They go through and cite many examples, including introducing a bill that would prohibit the use of U.S. military funding by Israel to detain Palestinian children, the promoting human rights for Israelis for Palestinian children living under Israel military occupation, or H.R. 2407, where basically she justifies it by saying since 2000, Israeli security forces have detained more than 10,000 Palestinian children. The U.S. State Department has documented numerous instances of human rights abuses against Palestinian minorities in Israeli prisoner camp since at least 2013. So, well, I'd say an overall good bill, but if this was Omar that had been proposing this bill, I feel like this would be something that would be getting a lot more coverage saying, oh, here's Ilhan Omar again going after Israel. Where if McCollum's doing something, and by the way, she is justifiably doing this, going after this bill where she would prevent funding for Israeli operations by the U.S. military for holding underage Palestinians. Overall, a good bill to me, but this is put through by McCollum. And they cite other examples, including, I don't remember this one happening, I think about 10 years ago, where apparently some AIPAC volunteer went into McCollum's office and said that she was basically supporting terrorists. McCollum actually demanded that this volunteer and the organization apologize. Nothing ever came from that, so that's also led to some bad relations between both parties. But just kind of find that interesting, Sam, because so often we hear Ilhan Omar criticized as being anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, and a lot of that stems from that tweet that she had earlier this year where she said it was all about the Benjamins, baby. Remember that tweet she made?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the reason why I also bring this up, and Matt's covered this on his show as well. Don't forget that a few weeks ago, Tom Emmer sent out a fundraising email talking about how basically, three far-left billionaires had bought the election in 2018 for Democrats. And guess what? These three billionaire Democrats that he referred to are George Soros, Tom Steyer, and Michael Bloomberg, who are all three Jewish. Emmer ended up getting pushback from the American Jewish World newspaper about this, saying, well, you're kind of going to that whole trope that Jews control everything in the world. And that's exactly what this fundraising email essentially said by calling out Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg, again, three Jewish people. But interesting, you didn't see any coverage at all from any of the corporate media outlets here in town, whether it's newspaper or TV. So just thought I'd throw that out there, that interesting that Emmer doesn't get any coverage. McCollum doesn't get any coverage either. Not that it's necessarily warranted because he's actually, I think, doing a good job holding the Israelis accountable, but Ilhan Omar all the time gets slammed. So just thought I'd throw that out there. Go ahead.
I think we all know why, too. Ilhan Omar is the one that takes the brunt of that, being a Muslim woman of color.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Man, I think I need the break. I can't even remember our phone number here at the station. So we're going to go ahead and take one, and hopefully I can get myself straightened out here as we'll cover more local news, including some rural news with the ag economy and also a loss of small-town newspapers on the way next here on the Repartee with Brett and Sam.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. Fresh at the market now, cherry tomatoes, cauliflower, broccoli, cucumbers, zucchini, beets, carrots, and even some new baby potatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesday at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, reading the troubled past.
I'll say it's troubled, all those xenophobic, misogynistic, racist books.
So you think we should just stop reading everything in the Western canon?
Well, you think we should keep reading the Western canon?
Well, yeah, you know, those books still have things to teach us and questions to ask us and conversations to make us part of.
Conversations about straight white males.
Reading the troubled past, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Monday afternoon. Forgot to ask you this at the beginning of the show, Sam, but have you gotten in any Twitter wars with celebrities before? Any social media wars?
I avoid Twitter, a little bit of Facebook, but I don't think with a celebrity, more just with trolls online.
No, I haven't gotten in one either, so I'm impressed that Matt was able to loop in Larry the Cable Guy. I just found that funny when I saw that being tweeted about, and why Larry the Cable Guy is spending his time talking with a local radio host from Minneapolis. Yeah, you were reading through the whole Twitter thread. I have to do that myself, but it certainly sounds like a hoot. I got to go through and do that later on in the after the show, I think.
Yeah, he almost got me upset a little bit talking about how being a producer or working the boards. But I love doing this. This is fun work.
Well, I love doing it, too. Yeah, it's fun being behind the mic here, too. But I also certainly love producing and helping out a lot of our wide variety of weekend shows that we have here at the station. By the way, do make sure you listen to our weekend programs. Lots of great shows, including Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, where you can find out what's happening in the Native community. We, of course, have Laura with Food Freedom Radio, where you can figure out what's happening in terms of food justice and agriculture justice. We have a great art show with Connections. What else do we have? Living Healthy and Aging Well. You can find out how you can age well as a senior as you move on later in life with Ken Hagley.
I think we're going to have some new bumper music coming up soon on that one, too.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, and we got the Wall of Power Radio Hour. Paul Metza invites all sorts of great guests in. We got Gregory Rich with Drink in the Style, the only show where you can have interior design and cocktails. Then Ellie 2.0 and her show about idealism. And, well, you and I get to produce several of those shows. It's something I take pride in, but apparently not Larry the Cable Guy. So there you
Guess
go.
Guess not.
Boo Larry the Cable Guy. I never found him funny in the first place anyways.
Yeah.
He had that 1 or 2 year period about 10 years ago where he was pretty massive. I feel like he was one of the biggest comics in the country. I mean, he's still a pretty big name, but nowhere near as big as he was back when it was, 2000? Was it around 07 or 08 where he really hit it big?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, there were a few of those guys that really hit it big back then. Remember Dane Cook?
Yeah, Dane Cook was pretty funny. Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan. Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of those guys that really hit it big in the mid and late 2000s, and since then have kind of dropped off when it comes to the world of comedy. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So last Wednesday, Sonny Perdue, the ag secretary, was in Minnesota, and apparently he did not get a warm response from many Minnesota farmers.
Oh,
no surprise
good.
There. Yeah, exactly. This is from Bloomberg, who was reporting on Perdue's visit to Minnesota. Gary Wordich, who is the president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, drew applause as he leveled criticism of the administration's trade policy at a forum with Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue in front of thousands of farmers gathered in a metal barn for a panel discussion. Others joined in as Brian Thalman, who's president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, complained about Trump's statements that farmers are doing great again. He said, "We're not doing great again. We're starting to go down very, very quickly, and I believe farm income is at its lowest level in like 30 years, according to some stats, which we've talked about on earlier programs here on the Repartee." Here's a follow-up on this, too, because obviously we know that the Trump administration has imposed tariffs on lots of Chinese goods. But the question is, what happens with that money that actually is put on the tariffs that we collect from the Chinese? Well, it turns out the U.S. Treasury collected an extra $27 billion in tariffs levied by the Trump administration on China this year. And almost all of that was spent on the farmer rescue packages, which is according to Tariff Cert, which is the trade group made up of businesses that pose the Trump administration tariffs. So $27 billion is what we have collected from these tariffs. And it's primarily gone to these farm bailouts, which on the surface kind of seems okay, saying, well, if we're levying these tariffs, we should use these to reimburse our farmers. But here's the problem. So $27 billion on those tariffs is being redistributed to farmers. But the majority of that money that's been distributed to farmers through that farm bailout has gone really to only these very rich and corporate farms. Because more than half of the Trump administration's $8.4 billion in trade aid payments to U.S. farmers through April was received by only the top 10% of recipients. No surprise there, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I had to make a guess before you brought that up, that would have been my guess. That's where that's money. Where that money is going.
Exactly. And also, according to the Environmental Working Group, the U.S.-China trade war led to the top 1% of aid recipients receiving an average of more than $180,000, while the bottom 80% were paid less than $5,000 in aid. And $5,000 in aid is going to come nowhere near towards reimbursing a lot of these small farmers from the amount of money that they've lost due to this trade war, since China, in a lot of cases, is the largest buyer of some of these ag products.
It's just such a roundabout way to get that money, like you, just to boost Trump's personal ego, it seems.
Yeah, and just think about that again. So $27 billion has been collected through these tariffs, and the majority of that money has been redistributed to the wealthiest corporate farms. Essentially, that's been corporate welfare, where you've been taken money that could have been sold by these small farmers had these tariffs not been in place, and the money collected by these tariffs has actually been given to, well, the wealthiest and the corporate farms. Let's move on to some other local stories. This one also has to do with rural America, and we talked about this a little bit last week and just want to follow up on this. So the New York Times reported on how last week the War Road Pioneer, which is War Road's only local newspaper, announced that they were going to be closing, which has led to a really disturbing trend, not just in Minnesota, but the entire country. Minnesota has lost 65 small-town papers since the year 2004, which is a really big deal when you think about these towns that have less than, let's say, 10,000 people, because that's primarily how you find out what's going on in your community. Reports on what's happening with your county board of supervisors, what's happening with your school board, what's happening with referendums that are being put through your town, or even community events or sports. It's a big loss in terms of finding out what's going on in your town.
And a lot of these small towns don't have as good an internet access as we do, so you can't just easily hop online and Google search that stuff, you kind of do rely on these small town papers.
Yeah, it's a huge loss, and we've been seeing this from a number of local newspapers, not just in small towns, but also, of course, in big towns as well. I have a sneaking suspicion that within 10 years, we're probably going to see either a merger of the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, or one of them is going to get bought out. I think feel like we're really an exception in terms of having actually two newspapers, major newspapers here in this town, which is very unusual. Continuing along, though, it's a very disturbing trend to see lots of these local papers being lost. And then you combine that with, Hunter's talked about this a lot, how you now have YouTube, which could be an alternative in terms of trying to get local news, now essentially only promoting corporate news content. Because what YouTube is doing is that after you watch those videos, you'll get recommended videos. Or if you're on a YouTube page, to the right, you'll see a whole list of recommended videos. Well, YouTube has changed their algorithm where now they're basically only going to be recommending content from, I believe, six media organizations. And these are largely corporate media organizations. So you have that combined with the fact that we're also losing all of these small town newspapers. And then you also look at the FCC regulations, which have been loosened even more during the Trump administration, where now in some towns, basically one company can own all the radio and TV stations. That, of course, started back in the Reagan administration, continued during the Clinton administration, where I think the limit was one company could only own seven radio stations. And now there's proposals to basically get rid of those regulations where one company could own all of the media sources. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Give us some thoughts if you have some ideas as to, well, how do we tide? How do we try to fight back? Because there's been some ways where I know there's a guy, forget the town, I think it might have been Redwood Falls in Minnesota, a guy who was trying to start a Facebook page in terms of trying to fill in where a lot of these losses of local newspapers have kind of left that void. I don't know if that's quite a solution since, well, it still is Facebook and it's tough to start something from the ground up. But there is something to also watch out for with this, and this is on the more sinister side, because there's this one group, and it's a Tea Party-linked group, that is trying to start up what's basically kind of these fake local newspapers. Like they started one called The Tennessee Star, which is basically a website that's purported to be a local news website, but mostly posts content licensed from groups linked to big Republican donors. They also did one in Minnesota as well called the Minnesota Sun. They've also set up the Ohio Star. So I'm hoping people aren't going to start buying into these kind of fake media sources. Don't want to use the term fake news since we have a president who likes to use that, but there could be an opportunity for some sinister forces to maybe work their way in and try to say, hey, we're local news. We're going to pass ourselves off as being the Burnsville newspaper or the Ely Township Dispatch or something like that. And they're basically just promoting their own corporate content, which is what we've seen from this group, which is owned by, what's the name of this group here? It's basically a Tea Party-linked group of activists named Michael Patrick, Steve Gill, and Christina Batteri, who've been setting up these fake local news websites. So could be a result of what we could have with the loss of local media. Let's go to some phone calls right now and head over to Randy in St. Cloud. He wants to talk about Sonny Perdue's visit to Minnesota. Hey there, Randy. What do you think?
Well, I didn't want to talk about his visit. I wanted to talk about the other wonderful things that Mr. Perdue is doing, who knows almost nothing about the department that he's in charge of. They just did a big push to relocate almost all of the scientists in the ag department to Kansas because he wanted to relocate everybody out of the East Coast, which means almost all of the scientists who know what they're doing have decided, I'm not going to move my family to Kansas, mm-hmm. and we're going to quit. So now he's free to hire a bunch of cronies who don't know what they're talking about. Because if we don't have facts, we can just make them up. So that works out for everybody. And that's exactly what Matt was talking about in the last hour. They predicted that the corn market was going to be short, so they advised a lot of people to plant corn. And guess what? Jeez, they were wrong.
Oh my God.
So
who would have guessed?
So that, but on the last point you were just making, we don't have to worry about the interlopers coming in with newspapers. We have the Star and Trib.
Mm-hmm. they definitely aren't the greatest sometimes with some of their reporting.
Oh, and they get all these letters to the editors saying, oh, you liberal media, you guys out there, my gosh. Well, there was an article on Sunday that about the health care policies, and this wonderful editorial writer, Doug Tice, I think he might have been related to our former Vikings coach.
Oh, Mike Tice, yes.
I doubt he is, but I would think he probably took a few too many hits in the head. But so he wrote this editorial about how we have to be careful what we wish for with healthcare policies because there could be strong side effects. And in his article, he quotes a group called the National Bureau of Economic Research. And I went, oh, okay, well, that sounds like an impressive group. So I tried to look them up, and I found who they are. And they are headed by a number of conservatives. But when I tried to find out who was funding, where their money came from, you can't find it out.
Hmm. So, and this wasn't made clear in the Star Tribune, was it?
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Heck no. I'm sorry. Heck no.
You can say that on the air.
But yeah, and he went on and quoted this thing, and that was the whole basis of all of his reasoning of why, well, we got to be pretty careful if we go messing with what we got going right now. And it's just everything about his article was just so disingenuous and so talking. I got a feeling he doesn't just get paid by the Star and Trib.
Hmm. Interesting. And yeah, let's also not forget that the Star Tribune is owned by the Glenn Taylor family. And Glenn Taylor, of course, is a Republican. Hey, Randy, thanks so much for the call. We are running a little late right now, so we are going to take a break. Come on back and talk about this weird pattern of Trump tweets over the past few days and weeks. And then also talk about a little feedback we got from a listener talking about whether we should attack the Obama legacy. We're going to get into all of that up next here on the Repartee. Quite a little escapologist
looks so miffed when you wish. Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry, where the fear-free gets you out of pain now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Shamblot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Legal issues, never fun, and they're certainly stressful. While it's tempting just to Google your legal situation, there is a better way. The Hennepin County Bar Association. Their referral counselors can answer many of your questions, like, do you even need an attorney? And if you do, what type? They can connect you to a network of over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. We've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
It's Greek to Me is now open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. be sure to join them for lunch. With warmer weather upon us, their magnificent Grecian patio is open. It's Greek to Me is located on the corner of Lake and Lindale at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at its GreekToMeMN.com. In addition to free side street parking, there is metered cross street parking and a toll lot behind the restaurant along Garfield Avenue, as well as the Dulano's parking lot on Lake Street in Garfield.
Minnesota is the home of heroes. Dock and Lift in Spring Park recognizes all of our local military members. A world of thanks to those who serve and their families for securing peace and prosperity for our country. Freedom rings because of your great sacrifice. Brave hearts who continue to lay down their own lives to protect and defend ours. Dock and Lift in Spring Park. We love our freedom, so we support our troops. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight we could see storms with a low around 62. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 82. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 74. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 75. The Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week is It's Greek to Me. It's Greek to Me has been a family-owned Lynn Lake landmark since 1982. Come visit their charming bar and explore wines and specialty drinks from Greece. Located at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
And we're back on the Monday edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Lots of different ways you can get a hold of us. You can, of course, always give us a call on the phone, 952-946-6205, comment on the Facebook live stream, or email us at comment at am950radio.com. You can email us during the show or after the show, which is what one of our listeners did a few days ago, talking about something that I think we're going to have to address, especially as we get into the next few Democratic presidential debates. I'll leave the author of this article or of this letter we received, at least anonymous for now, unless they decide to call in later on in the show, since they are one of our frequent listeners. But I'm going to go ahead and read this now, and I want your thoughts on this, because I'm sure this is how a lot of people feel in what I'm about to read from one of our loyal fans and one of our frequent listeners. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Hello, guys. 4 to 5 p.m. show. I like listening to your show on my way home from work every day. You do a wonderful job listening and educating listeners. Well, thank you very much. Gotta pat ourselves on the back there first. However, I'm a little troubled lately the way you keep questioning the Obama presidency. It's completely unnecessary to direct fire among your own. President Obama won the presidency twice with over 50% of the popular vote. I believe the majority of Americans elected him twice for a reason. The idea that he wasn't bold enough in what he accomplished is misplaced and misleading. Did you witness the blanket condemnation and obstruction he received? Did you forget that the Tea Party had rabid crowds? And progressives like you stood by without defending him. As progressives, we must be proud about our former president and stop fantasizing about what it would have been if Hillary Clinton had been elected. This kind of politicking is what will depress voter turnout among voters like himself. That would be the author of this piece. Please stop eating your own. Focus your fire where it counts, GOP corruption, and the current so-called President of the United States. There's nothing to be gained by attacking President Obama's legacy. Leave that to Republicans. So our listener is going along what I think kind of Joe Biden was talking about during the presidential debates that happened in late July, saying we shouldn't be attacking the Obama presidency. And I do see where this listener is coming from, because you do look at his points and say, well, Obama did get over 50% of the vote. And even if you look at polling on Obama now, he's even more popular now than he was when he left office. So you would think, well, we should actually embrace Obama and use him to our advantage in 2020. And I mostly do agree with his statement. But, and Sam, you can chime in on this too, I think it's also important to not also give the Obama administration a complete pass, because I didn't agree with everything they necessarily did during their administration. And I think it's important that we also hold our next president, who hopefully will be a Democrat, to a higher standard. And I think it's okay to go through and criticize a previous president, even if they're from your own party, because overall it makes your party stronger. And if we go with this idea that we can't criticize anyone who used to be from our party that was president, that's how you end up with someone like, or at least a campaign run like Hillary Clinton, which was very kind of milquetoast campaign. It didn't really do a lot to inspire people. It talked more about, it was straight up just attacking Trump all the time. It really wasn't a lot about what she would do if she became president. So I think there's some danger there if we don't hold our own feet to the fire and talk about, well, I, for the most part, like what Obama did, but I think there are some things he could have done better. I think that's important to do, to try to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And I don't think that's something that's going to dissuade people from voting for a Democratic candidate if they are a Democrat and we are providing constructive criticism of our current candidates and also our past presidents as well.
Right. I think it's like I support Obama. I voted for Obama. He was the first election I actually could vote for as an adult. And I wouldn't go back and change my vote for a Republican by any means. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of the big things that really makes the Republican Party and the Democrat Party different. Is you look at the Republican Party right now, and I mean, I guess there's a few, but the main base of their party, really, like, they won't criticize a single thing Trump does, and they just have this blind allegiance and this blind faith. And I just think that's an unrealistic view. I don't think we've ever had a single president in the entire history of this country that's done everything right. And I think it's totally fair to give some criticism when criticism's due. And that's why I like the Democrat part. It's why I've become a Democrat. Cause I think a lot of times we're a lot more self-reflective, and we look at that and we can see, hey, you know, I'm still, obviously I would vote for Obama over a McCain or anything, but he wasn't perfect. He definitely wasn't perfect. And it's all that blind faith is sometimes just too much. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily blind faith either, but if we shy away from holding people in our party accountable, that's how I think you actually do the opposite of getting people to vote for your party. That actually, I think, depresses voter turnout, because, well, that's how you end up with milquetoast candidates, because they have no incentive to move towards better policies if we come through with this. I'm not saying the listener was necessarily saying this, but a blanket statement of saying, hey, we can't go and criticize our own. I think that's very problematic. And I also don't think we can just focus our entire campaign on not holding each other accountable and just going after Trump, because that's not going to be a successful strategy. That's exactly what happened in 2016. And by the way, he does bring up some good points. The listener talking about the obstruction that happened during the Obama administration. Absolutely true. In fact, I don't blame Obama for not actually getting a better health care bill, because the Affordable Care Act really was the best that he could do. But there are areas where you can certainly hold him accountable and areas that didn't have anything to do with obstruction. One of them is, well, not prosecuting Wall Street. Of course, having all sorts of Wall Street executives in his cabinet. Two very fair pieces of criticism that had nothing to do with Republican obstructionism. Also, let's look at the TPP from back in 2015 and 2016, which would have been a horrible trade deal if this had gone through. He deserves criticism for that. So there are some areas where you can criticize him. I think immigration, another area as well. But it is a fair point on the part of obstructionism. Yeah, there were areas that weren't necessarily his fault in terms of not getting through better policy, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go through and provide constructive criticism of our own party. Of course, you got to make sure it doesn't cross a line, though, and gets to the point where we actually are so-called eating our own. So my thoughts on that. So I think there is a healthy discussion we can have about the Obama presidency and his administration. And also, let's add to this as well, if you get a candidate like Joe Biden basically just going back and saying, well, I was in the Obama administration and that's my qualification for president, without actually defending his positions, that not only doesn't make Joe Biden look good, but it also doesn't test him for a general election if he ends up being the candidate in 2020. I think actually the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton primary made Hillary a stronger candidate. I think if she had gone into that election unopposed on the Democratic side, I think she would have lost by a much bigger margin than if she did not have Bernie Sanders. I think competition overall makes our candidates better. And in fact, if you look at history, data actually backs that up. If you look, and this is both for Republicans and Democrats, when you have an open presidency, which where you don't have an incumbent running, usually the party that has the most competitive, the more competitive primary, ends up winning the general election. Go back and look at 2016. Republicans, for the most part, had a more competitive primary. They won. 2008, remember the Obama versus Hillary election on the Democratic side. They ended up winning the general election while Republicans pretty much went with John McCain. 2000, you can kind of look at the same idea with Bush versus McCain. That was a relatively competitive primary while we on the Democratic side pretty much just went all in for Al Gore. So I think even looking back at the historical perspective of this even shows that having a competitive primary actually does your party more good than harm. Every time you have a so-called anointed candidate, well, they almost always end up losing, and that's both for the Republicans and the Democrats. Just look at what happened with Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, or even to a degree, John Kerry back in 2004. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Tell you what, Sam, we're going to take a break and take some phone calls on this topic, and then also talk a little bit about Trump's tweeting as well, and this movie called The Hunt. That's all the way next here on the Repartee.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more, visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Brett and Sam back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Then going back to this email we received after one of our shows last week. Yeah, I get where he's coming from because on the surface it does look really concerning if you're attacking a former president who is still very popular not only within your party but within the American public itself. But I think there still definitely is room for constructive criticism of those within your own party to a point. I mean, if you get into really personal attacks, that can certainly cause some problems. But in the Democratic primary, I feel like we've come nowhere near reaching that point. And I think if we do go with this whole style of we can't criticize your own, that's what I think actually depresses turnout among your own voters and among your own base. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. What do you think about that? What do you think about this letter? Because a lot of people do feel like this listener out there that we shouldn't be going after the Obama presidency. And I don't even think we're necessarily going after the Obama presidency. I certainly voted for him. And even though I wasn't at AM 950, I was certainly one of those people as well saying that he is facing a lot of obstruction. So that's why we're not getting this dream presidency that we were all expecting back in 2008, 2009. He was facing a lot of Republican obstruction, but there were also errors he made on his own that didn't necessarily excite me either. And again, Wall Street, one of those examples, the TPP, and even some some of his immigration positions as well. Let's run the phones. Let's go to Julie in Minneapolis first. Julie wants to talk about farmers. Hey there, Julie. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just a quick question. I'll hang up and listen. Do you have any indication, you know, historically in Minnesota, farmers have always voted Republican. You know, they've fallen in line. With this latest trauma and the trade war and everything, I'm just curious, have you heard if there's any indication that they might switch political parties? Thanks.
Really, I have not thus far myself, and that's an interesting historical perspective you bring up, because the entire DFL party was actually started, well, partially by farmers. Just look at the name, Democratic Farmer Labor Party. And encourage you to go back to listen to one of our previous Minnesota Progressive Repartee shows. I'm sure you actually heard it yourself, Julie, where Hunter talked about this aspect of why Democrats lost the farmer vote over the past few decades, and do we need to sacrifice our social policies for economic policies to try to win those voters back? And to answer your question, I unfortunately have not seen any indications so far, because a lot of farmers, even though they're very upset with President Trump and his policies, they still have faith that, well, somehow things are going to turn out okay. I think the best we can hope for, and this is how I talk to some people on the right who are never going to vote Democrat, but they're not thrilled with President Trump, skip that part of the ballot or vote for a third party. Do what Republicans do to us all the time, where they try to get us to vote for Jill Stein, or sit out the election altogether. I think we can use this same strategy on Republicans who don't like Donald Trump but are never going to vote for a Democrat. Just tell them you don't have to vote for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders, whoever's going to be on the 2020 ballot for the Democrats. Skip that part of the ballot and vote down on the rest of the elections, or vote for a third party. We, of course, on the Democratic side are very good at doing that, hence what happened in 2000 and, to a degree, also 2016. Let's go to one more phone call before the end of the show. We got Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark.
You bet. We need to talk about this. The time for settling for the best, worst thing is over. None of this is new. Paul Wellstone talked about this 20 years ago. And I like to use history as a guide. Teddy Roosevelt said, to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but it is morally treasonable to the American public. I'm sorry, but what the emailer is talking about is called Stockholm Syndrome. We have a right, and it is our obligation, when a president says he promises us progressives and ends up, you know, filling in his administration with the Clinton administration and telling people we need to look forward, not back. And we have more wars under Barack Obama than under Bush. We have to call it like the, and now the progressives, it is our time. We are not going to, what Bernie Sanders said, when somebody tells you who to vote for, don't listen to them. They had their run. I told you in 2015 Hillary Clinton was unelectable. We should have Bernie Sanders right now. The people that are telling you to look the other way, plug your nose, are the people that are trying to get Joe Biden elected.
Hey, Mark, unfortunately, I have to leave it there since we are out of time on the program. And I'm not sure that's necessarily where the writer was coming from. I think his point was more, we got to be careful attacking the Obama administration. But it's a point we're going to have to deal with over the next few weeks and months, because they're going to be a topic in the debates. That's it for the Repartee. We'll see you tomorrow.